You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Did I say all that? Welcome to the program. Creative editing at play there. Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. Seton working remotely today. If you're watching on Peacock, you can download the app. Watch for free all 3 hours. Say good morning to our radio partners around the world. You'd like to get in touch with the program, you can, a variety of ways. You can email, tweet. You can also dial us up. Operator, not operators, operator, Marvin, is standing by. Have a poll question, play of the day, stat of the day, all of that coming up as we recap what happened last night, Monday Night Football. Who would have thought if I said Breeze Brady, Cam Joe Flacco, best quarterback matchup this week? If I told you Cam and Joe Flacco once had an epic Monday night showdown, you might believe it because they've had a lot of success in their careers. Newton was an MVP. Flacco's Super Bowl MVP. The thing you wouldn't believe is the year that that game took place, 2020, because neither quarterback was doing anything that would make you think they could play like they did last night. Cam was great. Ran for a couple of touchdowns. Threw for 274. Patriots pick up the win. Flacco threw for 3 touchdowns. A throwback performance for New York. And if you're a Jets fan, you're probably saying, we want to beat the Patriots. We don't want to beat the Patriots. They now are 0-9 and hold on to the top spot in the draft. Meanwhile, New England improves to 3-5. They can get back into the playoff hunt. It was a surprising game with a result that could have much bigger implications down the road when you factor in the number one pick overall. And the Jets look good early. New England is an average team, I think, this year. I don't have them making the playoffs. Nothing last night convinced me otherwise. They got the Ravens coming up, their next game. And that doesn't mean they can't beat them. They host the Ravens. But it feels like they might make a run. Schedule's a little softer second half of the season. Maybe there's a 9-7 team there. There's a possibility that we're going to be expanding the playoffs this year. Don't know. Now, this is if you have a meaningful game that is canceled, that they will enact the new playoff structure. And that would be a 16 playoff team contingency plan. Baseball did this. The NFL is going to do this. If a team or teams are unable to play all of their regular season games, the plan is to expand the number of teams that would make the playoffs from each conference from 7 to 8. That allows for a seeded bracket that replaces the traditional format. Each division winner will make the playoffs. 4 additional teams with the best record in their conferences also make the playoffs. Ties will be broken using at least 10 different metrics there, head-to-head, conference winning percentage, strength of schedule. Once the playoff teams are decided, winning the division ceases to matter. Each conference will seed their teams by winning percentage. So instead of a normal wild card round and a first round bye for the top team, all teams will play each other using a bracket format. Now, this is going to be voted on today. NFL owners will vote today to approve what is called a COVID-19 contingency playoff plan. Kind of sneaky. You're like, wait a minute. I didn't know anything about this. They just added a 7th team in the AFC and the NFC. Now we're going to 8. Now we may have a seeded format here. And I do think this might be the future of the NFL when it comes to expanding playoffs and having the seeded brackets there. There's more money there, and I think that's a real distinct possibility. Patriots come back, beat the Jets 30-27, and if you're the Jets, and if I'm a Jets fan, I'm relieved. I think we showed that we can play, we can be competitive, but I don't want to win. I'll take the label. I'll take the 0-16 label. I'm okay. Because if I go 0-16 and I end up with Trevor Lawrence, I won. I don't want to have 2 wins. That doesn't mean anything. That doesn't help us. We're either going to be really good at being bad or we're going to try to be a 500 team. And a 500 team might get you into the playoffs. Anything else, you're in no man's land. Even going 9-7, 8-8, you're still in no man's land. Are you getting better? Are you getting worse? Are you reloading, rebuilding? With the Jets, you're not good, and you will be rebuilding. And even with Trevor Lawrence, you're going to be rebuilding. I still want to know. I'm going to guess, and I don't know Trevor Lawrence. I don't think we've ever had him on the show. I'm going to guess Trevor Lawrence did not watch last night's game. Because if he was watching, who was he rooting for? Was he rooting for the Jets to win the game? But then, do you want to be a Jaguar? We're running out of teams where he could end up. And you could watch your future unfold right before your very eyes. Imagine that, no matter what you do for a living, if you were going to watch where you could end up, where you live, who you play for, we have a choice. Most of us have a choice. Coming out of high school, he had a choice. Coming out of college, he doesn't have a choice. Well, he may, if he pulls an Eli Manning and says, you know, on second thought, I don't want to play there. But if I'm Trevor Lawrence, I don't know if I'm watching. And if I am, I love me some Cam Newton today after a couple of rushing touchdowns. If you look at what, you know, the Jets ran four plays for 3 yards in the fourth quarter. They had the ball a total of 1 minute and 24 seconds. It seems almost impossible, but it's Jetsian. Like, it's not a word, but I've made it a word because if the, you know, when the Jets act like the Jets, it's Jetsian. And last night you saw that. This is a team that gets dominated in the second half of games this year. Outscored 46-7 in the last three games, second half. Outgained 755-145. Their opponents have run 130 offensive plays. The Jets have run 53. 3-2-1.
Stat of the day.
Stat of the day! Stat of the day! Stat of the day! Stat of the day! Here comes the stat of the day!
Seton going a little a cappella there for me. Thank you very much, Seton.
Yeah, he's throwing you the assist.
This program brought to you by MasterClass, offering 90 classes on a variety of topics, all taught by world-class masters at the top of their fields. Get unlimited access to every master class and 15% off the first year of an annual membership at masterclass.com/Patrick. The classes are in between 2 and 5 hours there. Shonda Rhimes, she can teach you writing for television. Steve Martin teaches comedy. Natalie Portman teaches acting. Samuel L. Jackson teaches acting. Gordon Ramsay cooking. Steph Curry. Serena Williams. Bob Iger, the former head of Disney, has a very powerful master class. But there's some great stuff there. Masterclass.com/Patrick. All right, McLovin, what kind of poll question do you have?
Well, we have all kinds of poll questions, but on this side of the glass, a debate heated up. It looks like if you look at tankathon.com, that the Jets and the Jaguars, one of those two teams is going to get the number one pick.
Yeah.
So which one does Trevor want to go to if you have those two choices?
I don't know. I don't know if he wants to stay in the South. You go to Jacksonville. If I'm him, do I want the challenge of New York? Do I trust the front office of the Jets, or do I trust the front office of the Jags? The Jags will have a new head coach, I'm going to guess. The Jets will probably have a new head coach there. If Eric Bieniemy, and he's going to have his choice of jobs, he's the offensive coordinator with Kansas City. If I get him, you know, I'm also going to have to fight off the Texans for Eric Bieniemy, because, you know, you're looking at his perspective of who do I want to coach? Do I want to coach Deshaun Watson right now? Do I want to get Trevor Lawrence on that rookie deal? Do I want to go Jacksonville where I get Trevor Lawrence? Do I trust ownership in Jacksonville? Do I trust ownership with the Jets? And those are some big question marks there. And I think that's going to be, as we move along here. And it's not that the players are tanking, because people always get this wrong and they misinterpret what I'm saying. Joe Flacco was trying as if that was the Super Bowl. It's just, I don't know how much better Joe can be. And look, he made some mistakes there in the second half. The team made some, you know, mistakes, and it felt like the Patriots outcoached the Jets in the fourth quarter, certainly in the final drive there. Just felt that way. You know, the Patriots aren't going to put people away. But they hung in there long enough, and to come back and win the game. I know you don't really celebrate a win like that, but it's not the win was more joyous, but boy, that loss would have been demoralizing if I'm a Patriot or a Patriot fan there. What else do you have, McLovin?
Okay, on that Jets topic, another pre-show debate. Would you rather be 0-16 and guaranteed the number one pick, or 1 in 15 and roll the dice that you end up with the number one pick. So I'll give you a win, but you don't know what's going to happen.
I know, but you keep saying, oh, you don't want to be 0-16. Yeah. You don't want to have that label. You were an 0-16 team. I don't know how long that stays with you. You know, the Lions, they were 0-16. Okay. It sort of stayed with them. They're mired in mediocrity. The Browns, you know, when you see that team that doesn't win a game, how long does that stay? You know, the Jets wouldn't be alone. They'd have company there. And it's not like we'd go, oh, they lost all their games. Or, you know, it's worse, going 1-15 and not getting Trevor Lawrence. If you say, you go 0-16, you got him, then I'll take that. If, by all accounts, he is a once-in-a-decade quarterback, but it doesn't matter how good he is. It's how good the talent is around him, how good the front office is. Can you draft? How are you with the cap? How are you with free agency? There's so much more that goes into this. Instead of, we got Trevor Lawrence. Okay, if I put Patrick Mahomes on the Jets right now, how many wins do you think they have? One? Two, maybe? Patrick Mahomes is in a perfect situation. He's got an experienced coach, probably the most talent, offensive talent of anybody in football. If I put him on the Jets, no matter how great he is he going to make the difference in one game, maybe two games? Who's he throwing to? He's not throwing to, you know, Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce. Clyde Edwards-Helaire is not running the football. He doesn't have his offensive line. That's why when you go to a team and these quarterbacks who go high, go up early, you're going to a bad team. I think Justin Herbert has a better chance of succeeding because it feels like the Chargers do have stars. They just can't stay healthy. And because of that, he might be more competitive sooner. They keep blowing fourth quarter leads. Joe Burrow, we may not know how great he can be and how great the Bengals will be. It might be 2 or 3 years down the road. Tua is going into a situation with a team that is better than the Bengals, and he might have a better chance as well. But if I put Patrick Mahomes on the Jets or Jacksonville, they're not doing much. And he's the best quarterback in the game, most valuable quarterback in the game. Yeah, McLovin.
You're going full system here.
Well, I'm talking about having weapons. I'm talking about having an offensive line. That's not a system. It's like, can somebody block for me? Yes. Do I have somebody to throw to? If that's a system, then everybody has been a system quarterback in the history of the game.
Has there ever been a quarterback that was so dynamic that he could elevate even the worst team? Like maybe like a running quarterback? Are there any exceptions? Like Peyton, when he came to the Colts, just sort of revamped everything immediately.
Yeah, but he had weapons. Peyton had weapons.
Well, they weren't there before he got there. They drafted him right after. Like, you know, he kind of raised that team from the dead.
And that's the key, is the front office drafted some pretty good people. And therefore, Peyton struggled his first couple of years. And then he got talent, and Peyton became one of the greats of all time. I mean, we didn't know what Tom Brady was. They weren't, you know, showcasing their quarterback when he first started. It was about their defense. Yeah, Paul.
I have a snarky poll. You ready? Who most wants the Jets to go 0-16? Jets fans, they get Trevor Lawrence. Sam Darnold, because then he gets traded and doesn't have to be a Jet anymore, gets to restart his career somewhere else. Or Justin Fields, because then he doesn't get drafted by them. Little snarky. Who would most want?
Yes, McLovin.
I feel like Justin Fields might want New York over Jacksonville because he doesn't have the fame that Trevor has yet. So maybe Justin Fields secretly wants to be a Jet. Because you're going to be famous if you're the number two overall pick to the Jets.
Yeah.
Well, actually, Justin Fields was famous in high school, as I recall.
Sam Darnold isn't famous.
That's true.
He was famous in college, but he's not famous now.
But Jacksonville is a tough spot, too, for publicity.
Yeah, but I don't believe that. You know, we thought, oh, you got to be in New York. How many athletes want to be in New York nowadays? It's rare when somebody, other than the Yankees writing a blank check for you.
Brooklyn just got KD and Kyrie.
But they didn't want to be in New York. They didn't want to be in New York City. They went to Brooklyn. Remember, I thought they would go to the Knicks, revitalize the Knicks. Maybe if we move the Jets to Brooklyn, then we would have a chance. Yes, Todd?
But still, if you're going to be on a bad team, at least early on, unless you're so convinced that the Jets front office is a disaster for many years to come, how could you not want to go to New York and see if you can resurrect not only the Jets, New York teams in general, the Jets and Giants have been horrible for years. You can be that hero to bring the Jets back.
But Trevor Lawrence doesn't know anything about the Jets' history.
So they'll inform them about it.
I know, but you're caught up in it because that's your childhood. These athletes nowadays don't give a damn about the Knicks. They don't care about the Jets.
But you want to be on the Jaguars instead of in New York?
But he doesn't get caught up in, I got to go resurrect the Jets.
His agent should get caught up in it because I think that's a big difference between what you can possibly, it's limitless what you can do if you're a hero in New York.
How many free agents have gone to the Knicks? Big time free agents. Who, don't they want to revitalize the Knicks?
Back in the day, I guess. The Garden has definitely lost some of its luster. But if someone's willing to take the chance and can help the Knicks get back to the glory days, you know how you'd be like forever like a huge hero.
They don't. You have to understand today's athlete, Todd. They're not stuck in the 70s and 80s like you are. They don't care. Trevor Lawrence may know who Joe Namath is. Maybe. But I don't think he's going, man, I always looked up to Chad Pennington. Like, it just doesn't happen with today's athlete.
But if you're not afraid of the media and the pressure of New York, I can't imagine if you have your choice of, regardless of how bad the Jets are, and you think the Jacksonville front office is going to figure it out faster than the Jets front office would. I don't know how you wouldn't.
I don't have confidence in either one of them. I just know that the Jags went to the AFC title game and could have gone to the Super Bowl. The Jets, maybe some of their players have gone to a Super Bowl. They probably scalped their tickets. Yes, Paulie.
It's interesting that we don't know Trevor Lawrence's personality, because if you would have said before the draft when Eli Manning was up there, would he want to be a Charger or a Jet or a Giant, I would have said, Charger. Chill place. He's a low-key guy. He's not like his brother. He's not a media hound. And I would have guessed that Eli Manning would have said, San Diego's perfect for me. I could be all by myself out here. But he wanted New York, which is, I'm still surprised by that.
But I think today's athlete, you don't have to be in a major market, certainly in the NFL. Because they find stars everywhere. Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City. It doesn't matter. LeBron was in Cleveland, remember? You got to be in a big market. He's going to the Knicks. Got to be in a big market here. And that I don't think it matters with today's athlete. Social media can place you wherever you want to be, whenever you want to be there. Yeah, McLovin.
I think the one place NFL players want to be is Dallas. I've heard that because you get so much marketing money. I mean, you get all the Greek yogurt ads and all that stuff. You get a lot of money. I mean, there is a big. You're not going to get the Oikos ad if you're the Jacksonville quarterback.
Well, Cam got the Oikos when he was in Carolina.
Yeah, I know. And then
I mean,
he got
Christian
hurt,
McCaffrey.
They took it away.
Christian McCaffrey's one of the bigger names, and he's in Carolina.
Ads. Yeah, I don't know that I. Yeah, I guess he gets some. You're right. But Jacksonville, the AFC South. I still have this bias against the AFC South. That might be the one team. It's really hard to break
out. But you could go into a division that you got a chance to win right away.
Yeah, I mean, like, I just think of Jalen Ramsey and all those guys wanting to get out of there.
Well, that's because of the front office and Tom Coughlin. I mean, that's the reason why they wanted out. And then if you can somehow get Dabo Sweeney to want to go to Jacksonville with Trevor Lawrence, all right, maybe you got something interesting. Maybe free agents would want to go play there. It's not a destination, but if I'm Trevor Lawrence, I would rather go to Jacksonville right now. The Jets, I have no trust in the Jets right now. And then I think, didn't the front office say Adam Gase is, you know, his job's not in jeopardy? Just based off that, I have questions about the Jets. Yes, McLovin.
There's another team that's towards the bottom, Washington. That's an ownership group that a lot of people don't want to be around either.
I'd probably rather be a Jet, even though I love Ron Rivera.
Yeah.
I'd want to play for Ron Rivera. I do think they have some talent there. That's close, and it shouldn't be. I get to play in the NFC East, so I got Philly, New York, and Dallas every week, week in and week out, that I'm facing them. But, yeah, I don't trust ownership there. It's all – if you said – I just want to know who my GM is. How sharp is my GM? How good is his track record? Because that's what you need. You need to go, I got complete confidence that you're going to pick the right guys to surround me with talent. It goes back to what I always say about the Cleveland Browns. They always had a boatload of draft picks. And I said, but who's picking? And that's where you go, oh, you're right. You got a front office that's smart. That's a big difference. You can have less draft picks and still do more damage in the draft because you're smart. You can win the lottery and not be smart. And then 5 years later, you're bankrupt. I mean, that's what happens with some of these teams. Here's your lottery. I got all these draft picks for you. I come back in 5 years and go, wait, where are your draft picks? I don't know. Justin Gilbert's not here. Johnny Manziel's not here. Brandon Weeden's not here. And on and on and on and on and on. All right. Phone call's coming up. We'll take a break here. Did I mention who's on the show today? You know what? Take a break. I'll tell you who's on the show. I got two books that I can strongly recommend. Also, Masters Week, by the way, kind of snuck up on us here in this crazy 2020. 22 after the hour. We're back after this in the Dan Patrick Show. A little fired up today. I got a good night. Great night's sleep, as a matter of fact. Great night's sleep, Todd.
You look very bright-eyed and bushy-tailed and all that kind of thing.
Yeah. Well, thank you. I don't know what the bushy tail means, but thank you. Bright-eyed? It's probably the sweatshirt, the blue, that's picking up the blue in my eyes.
You have a lot of energy.
Thank you, Todd. Discover the Sleep Number 360 smart bed, game-changing sleep. You can sleep in my bed. Come on in. Jump in my bed. Tell me what your sleep number is. Mine's 100. During Veterans Day sales, save $1,000 on a special edition smart bed. Now, $1,799. Plus, exclusive offers for military members for a limited time. Only at Sleep Number stores, sleepnumber.com/Patrick. Now, so many things to do. You can have a great mattress, great bed, but also there's a few things that Sleep Number recommends. Go to bed 15 minutes earlier for a few days leading up to the time change when we had daylight savings time. Make sure that you don't watch TV in your bedroom or you charge your phone outside of your bedroom. Dim the lights. But check out this Sleep Number bed. You can go to sleepnumber.com. /Patrick, or you can visit them in their stores or chat. Sleep Number is the official sleep and wellness partner of the NFL. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app. Last night was Cam Newton's 9th career game with multiple rushing touchdowns, 2 more than any quarterback all time. So he's done it 9 times. Otto Graham did it 7 times. Jack Kemp, who played for the Bills, did it 7 times. Steve McNair did it 7 times. Steve Young did it 7 times.
Start of the day! Start of the day!
Now, that's the positive with Cam Newton. Here's the stat that would concern me if I'm a Patriot fan. Cam Newton has just 2 passing touchdowns this year. 7 starts, none in his last 4 games.
Start of the day, 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 start of the day.
I think we might be overcompensating for stat of the day. Jim Gray, who I liken to Forrest Gump, you read this book, Talking to Goats, G-O-A-T-S, the greatest of all time. He's been everywhere and talked to everyone. Richard Nixon, Ali, Jordan, Brady, you name it. He's done it. And I highly recommend the book. It's a great read, and Jim will join us coming up next hour. Wright Thompson, who I think is one of the great writers in America, not sports writers, greatest writers in America. And he has a book. It's about Pappy Van Winkle, but it's really about family. It's as you would come to expect with Wright Thompson. There's so many layers to a book or the topic, the theme. And it's Pappy Land. And I don't know if you've ever had bourbon, but Pappy Van Winkle is sort of the creme de la creme there. It's not the best bourbon, but it is highly sought after. There's supply and demand. The prices are crazy. You get a 23-year bottle of Pappy Van Winkle. It could cost you $3,500 on the secondary market. I have a 12-year bottle that I opened up at Christmas last year. And I said to people, I said, do you want a shot of bourbon? And nobody wanted any bourbon. And then I told him the story of Pappy Van Winkle. And I said, you know, that shot right there would be about $50 in a bar. And then everybody wanted a taste of Pappy Van Winkle at the Christmas party. Yes, Eden.
Sip it or did they shoot it?
Well,
that's
told
the
him,
problem.
I told him to sip it.
Yeah.
But I put it in a shot glass and I said, just sip it. You know, each sip is about $7.
Right, you know? Right. Like, and then you could gulp that in $50 at a time, buddy.
Yeah, and they treated it like it was holy water. It's like,
oh, it just wet my lips.
Yeah, and then if you tell somebody that something is really expensive, then they go, oh, yeah, man, that's good. But if I say, you know, because sometimes at my Christmas party, I'll serve wine that's about $17 to $22. But it's a great bottle of wine, but they think you spent like $40 on it. And if you say, man, that's a $50 bottle of wine. Man, that tastes good. If I say, boy, that's $11, they go, okay. Yeah, Paul.
My buddy Ed has a very well-stocked bar at his house, and he had some Pappy Van Winkle, some other high-end bourbons. And I think the bottle he had was about $300, which is a lot for anyone to afford. And some people were pouring drinks, and someone mixed like a Diet Coke and ice and some Pappy Van Winkle together. Yep. And I thought Ed was going to put the guy out and curb stomp him.
Well, it was years ago at the Christmas party, I realized if you put it out there, then people will drink it.
But not mix it with Diet Coke.
No. But now my friend, my neighbor came over, and I had, I forget what kind of scotch it was. It might have been Johnny Walker Blue Label, or I just know it was expensive. But I had put it out. It wasn't open. And I come down, and I see that Bob is sitting by himself with the Johnny Walker, and he's crushing it. And I said, you open up the Johnny Walker. Like, some of it, you just kind of put it there because it looks good. And I come down there, and Bob is sitting by himself crushing a bottle of Johnny Walker Blue. Merry Christmas, Bob. Merry Christmas. Todd mentioned I was bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. I know the bright-eyed, but I don't know the bushy. Is this a hunting reference with bushy-tail?
It is, Dan. We did a little LexisNexis search. Ooh. And found the first time that was ever used in publication, the phrase was 1888. And they're talking about hunting season, that the animals are bright-eyed and there's bushy-tailed squirrels. But it wasn't used as a phrase. It was used again in the 1900s, but then it was used in a cartoon in 1944, and they called the animal calls the hunter. Hey, look, he's bright-eyed and bushy-tailed because he's out so early, the sun is coming up. Hmm. And then it becomes a thing. In 1944, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed was used often in both publications and cartoons to describe someone who's up and alert early.
So once again, I embrace the demographic. You're always concerned about that. I'm going, you know, too far back. 1880, there you go. Is the demographic we're shooting?
Usually it's 1980, not 1880.
Yeah, I did go actually 100 years before that.
And the reason why the animals are bright-eyed is because you got a damn gun. They got to be bright-eyed going, what do you got a gun there? All right, phone calls here coming up. Brian in California. Hi, Brian. What's on your mind today?
Hey, good morning, Daniel. You guys are the best. Hey, I had a thought last night. We're watching the Jet game, and I'm a coach. What would be the best scenario for the Jets? I would think I would go to Herm Edwards and say, look, here's $100 million. I'm going to give you full control, get the Jets back to running the football, defense, and give somebody like Herm Edwards the chance to completely change the Jets back to what they used to be.
No, Brian, I don't agree with that. I don't want to give any coach $100 million. Unless it's Saban. But even then, I don't want to give him $100 million. How about I do this? I just draft Trevor Lawrence. And then I get a new coach. And I guess if you're sold on your GM, fine. And have ownership stay the hell out of the way. But, you know, get a good offensive line. By all accounts, you know, Becton is one of those plug-in for the next 10 years, but he's got a shoulder issue. You don't have, you know, running backs, skill position, not much. Crowder is good, but the cupboard is bare there. You had a couple of defensive players who opted out. But I think that there is that, you know, the framework can be there, but it's going to take a couple of years to do so. If I look at the Jets the way I do the Bengals, as good as Joe Burrow is, he's going to probably have to wait two more years. So this season, next season, and then that season after that is third season, we might see them be a playoff potential team. It doesn't happen overnight. You can get somebody overnight, but that doesn't change your team overnight. And Trevor Lawrence, no matter where he goes, will experience those growing pains. Justin Herbert has not, because he's on a team that's already established and should be a playoff caliber team. But they're losing close games here. But no, Herm Edwards, as much as I love Herm, he's not the answer. And I don't want to bring in Herm to be a running team if I'm taking Trevor Lawrence. Keith in New York. Hi, Keith. What's on your mind?
Good morning.
Hey, bud.
How long, what teams and how long has it taken them to win a Super Bowl with the number one pick as quarterback?
Well, I know that Troy did it with the Cowboys, but they went like 1-15 that first year. What was that? 3 years after the fact? 4 years after the fact with Troy? Elway took forever. Peyton Manning. Yeah, McLovin.
There's only a couple guys who've done it even. Like, it's like lately, Eli, and I can't remember one other name. That stat's thrown out a lot. Number one overall picks have not been winning titles.
What was the Giants' record before Eli got there?
You mean that when they pulled Kurt Warner or even before that you're talking?
No, when they drafted him. Because they did have some talent on that team.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. I mean, that's the key with any of these quarterbacks. I mean, Brady went, he took over for Drew Bledsoe on a team that was good. Very good. And had a really good defense. But it takes a while.
I'm looking at some of the number one overalls. Like Carson Palmer came into a... Was that a good team in Cincinnati? It was Kittner
yes.
with that team?
Well, they went 8-8 the previous year when they drafted him. Kittner went out and went 8-8. So they drafted Carson Palmer. He sat and Kittner went 8-8 with the Bengals. And then Palmer took over after that.
Here's a good one. Alex Smith was terrible when he started with the 49ers. And then we later found out he's good when the team got better, right?
Yes.
But it took
a little while.
A long while, like five years. Yeah.
And Sam Darnold, I think, is a starting quarterback. And I think the best thing that can happen is the Jets get a quarterback and Sam Darnold plays elsewhere. And that could be Pittsburgh, could be Chicago, maybe even San Francisco. I mean, there's a couple of possibilities.
Saucy.
From what I know, I think the Niners move on from Jimmy Garoppolo. Maybe Sam Darnold ends up there. I don't know if the Vikings move on from Kirk T. Cousins or the Falcons move on from Matt Ryan, but there's going to be some really interesting quarterback maneuvering here. Yeah, Paul.
If somehow Garoppolo were let go by the Niners, that's a weird position because I'm sure he and his agent feel like he's a starter and wants starter money. It's not like Mariota and Winston where, okay, we'll be okay to start over somewhere. That would be a very, he feels like he'd be a quarterback in no man's land.
Well, he got paid as a starter, and I don't know what is left, what they owe him, and he almost won a Super Bowl. It's weird if you have a quarterback who's won a Super Bowl, but even if he won a Super Bowl, I'd still have a question mark. Like if Jared Goff won a Super Bowl, I'd still have a question mark about it. Because you want to see, can my quarterback win me games? It got to the point with the Niners, they just stayed running the football. And almost, they passed out of desperation there. And Garoppolo almost won a Super Bowl. Yeah, McLovin.
I'm seeing Garoppolo as two more years at $25 million. Yeah. So free agent, unrestricted free agent in 2023. Not like the end of the world. $25 million is
not. No, it's not. Eric in Virginia. Like, I don't know what Matthew Stafford, where he'll be next year. Because you're going to have a new coaching staff there. Hey, Eric.
Hey, Dan. So this whole thing with Trevor Lawrence is frustrating to me. What happened to the days when you just wanted to play football regardless of who drafted you? And if he's going to hold out because he doesn't want to be drafted by the Jets, then to me that's kind of lame. I mean, if you have great talent, look at Joe Burrow. He's playing for the Bengals, and he's going to be the rookie of the year because he's on a team with no talent. And
yeah, Eric, Trevor Lawrence has not said anything about this. He doesn't even want to talk about this. He hasn't said anything about if he's even going pro. This is just the media speculating on this. But the only reason why I brought it up is I wondered if he was watching the game last night. That was it. And what was the outcome Trevor Lawrence wanted last night if he's watching the game? Because he's going to be involved in this situation next year. He could be with the Jets. He might be taking inventory there. He might be looking at those green uniforms and saying, how do I look in green? By the way, I think if the Jets added a little bit more of the brighter green, it's too dark. The helmets look great. Yeah, Seton.
I think it's kind of crazy, though, that we expect college athletes to not exercise some form of control over their career.
Yeah.
I mean, I get that it's a draft, but why should they be beholden to, like, okay, well, here's just the luck, and sorry, looks like you're screwed for 5 years, and hopefully you could figure out after that.
If you can make the play, if you can, I understand it. I you know, when we get it caught up in it, hey, that's the way it used to be. Hey, it's the way it's always been. That doesn't mean it's the right way. That's just the way it's always been. There's a lot of things in our history where we go, hey, that's just the way, that's the way it is.
It's the way we've always done it.
Yeah, that's just how you do it. If you have leverage and you can use leverage, why are you any different, or should you be any different than any other businessman? Yes, Don.
But what kind of league would you have, and or have any kind of shot at parity if any very good or great player gets to decide the same three or four or five teams that everybody wants to go to, either because of the weather or because of how good they've been or their chance of winning a championship? Then what do you? How does that work?
Well, how many quarterbacks can go to warm weather teams?
Not a lot.
Like if you say, hey, Miami, okay, you can only play one quarterback. So that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, but if every player had made a list of what teams they want to play for, that it could have, it ends up being a lot of the same handful of teams. So you have to field decent teams.
Wouldn't that be like college football? College football has five-star quarterback, Trevor Lawrence starting. They probably got two other quarterbacks. They got another quarterback coming in next year. They got their second team defensive line will probably be drafted. They do it in college football.
And a lot of people have a problem with the same four teams that, are in the Final Four every year with the college football playoff.
Yes, yeah,
but the scenario that Todd's laying out has never happened and never will happen. So, right, every player's not going to make a list of the same four teams in the NFL and only play for them. It's impossible. You can't do that. Only a handful of times maybe in the history of the league has somebody been like, I'm not going to that team that drafted me. It's maybe you could fit that on one hand, maybe
yeah.
two.
Yeah. Yeah, Paul.
There's high school All-American quarterbacks standing in line at Oklahoma and Clemson. That's how deep it is. Fritzy's point is, Fritzy and Seton both have a point. It won't happen, but college football is just the rich get richer. Nobody goes, I want to go down to Wake Forest and build this program. Trevor Lawrence didn't do that.
Well, you only go when you go to Clemson and then you realize you're not going to play and then you transfer and then you get to start right away at Wake Forest. That's usually what happens. But if you have the leverage and you want to use the leverage, then, you know, the aftermath is you deal with people saying, you know, like Eli, does he give a damn that somebody says, oh, you forced your way out of the San Diego? No, he didn't care. Elway, to this day, do you think he's going, man, people in Baltimore still hate me because I didn't want to play for the Colts? How many other players have we seen who say, I'm going to use my leverage here? Yeah, McLovin.
Kobe did. There's no doubt about it. He told people, don't draft me because I'm not coming there.
Yeah. Okay, how long did that stay with him?
Not at all.
Yes. But if you can, if you have the leverage and you use the leverage, then fine. All walks of life, people use leverage. But you got to be ready to take the heat. If Trevor Lawrence says, I don't want to play for the Jets, I want to play for Atlanta or whatever, pick a team. Okay, that first year, maybe that second year, he's going to, and every time he visits that team, he'll hear it. Other than that, he might go, I love where I live. I love who I'm playing for. Take a break. Play of the day next here on The Dan Patrick Show. Thanks for listening to The Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Oh, my God.
The play, the play of the day.
Left side, got it!
Check this out.
Flacco off play action, drops the throw. Looks downfield off 1 foot. Fires a bomb up the right seam, and it's caught by Perriman. 10-5 touchdown. Rashad Perriman got behind the coverage, and he beat J.C. Jackson.
Jets Radio Network, Joe Flacco passing Joe Montana on the NFL's passing yards list. He's 20th all time. That is your play of the day. Play of the day is brought to you by, well, you should cheer somebody up with 1-800-Flowers.com. Fall birthday, you can't be there. 1-800-Flowers.com. Right now, order a dozen multicolored roses plus an extra bouquet. You get that all for $29.99. To order, go to 1-800-Flowers.com. Click on the radio icon. Enter code Patrick. Here's a stat for you. Most career passing yards by a quarterback who never made a Pro Bowl. Most career passing yards, never made a Pro Bowl. Joe Flacco, come on down. 40,000 passing yards. He's never made a Pro Bowl.
Oh, man.
All right. Only two other quarterbacks with at least 30,000 career passing yards have never made a Pro Bowl. Yes, Paulie?
When you were watching the game last night, they cut away to Joe Flacco on the sidelines when the other team's on offense about 75 times. He's never speaking to any receivers or running backs or any coaches or assistant coaches. It looks like he's thinking about what he's got to pick up for dinner for the family and maybe if he can make it to Bed Bath & Beyond this weekend. Mm. He's never speaking to anybody. He looks very relaxed and it's a very odd thing. People were commenting on it last night. That what does he do on the sidelines? He just looks around.
Before Paulie interrupted me, most career passing yards, never making a Pro Bowl, Joe Flacco. Anybody want to guess? The next two guys are both at 34,000 passing yards. One is still playing on this list. Yes, Paulie?
Ryan Fitzpatrick?
Ryan Fitzpatrick. Patrick Fitzryan. Steve DeBerg is on there.
I was about to yell Steve DeBerg.
You,
I really was. I swear.
I will do a wheel of punishment if I was not about to yell Steve DeBerg.
How am I going to know? All right, I believe you.
You roll back the tape and my mouth is going, Steve DeBerg.
Joe Ferguson is on. Oh, I was going to say Joe Ferguson. And the last one, I mentioned him already in this show. Mentioned him already.
Was it like a number one pick kind of guy? Because we were in that number one pick conversation?
Related to. Attached to.
Whatever it is, I was going to say that.
John Kitna.
Oh.
John Kitna. He was there when they...
Wow.
Yeah, they took
Full
Carson
circle.
Palmer. Yeah.
Did you plan that all to come
yes,
back
I
to
did.
John Kitna?
Yeah, it took a while. Took a while. I saw where the basketball top 25 came out. I'm not ready for the basketball right now. I don't know if basketball is ready for basketball right now. But Gonzaga is the number one team in the country. I saw where Tom Izzo, Michigan State head coach, he's got COVID. Baylor is number two in the men's top 25 college basketball poll. More phone calls coming up. Three MAC games coming up tonight. Yes. I got an idea for Pac-12 football. Have that for you. 1 hour in the books, two more to go. Seton Pauly, Fritzy McLovin. Yours truly here on the Dan Patrick Show.